Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It is I, Van Lathan, and a mad-ass Rachel Lindsay. I already know she's mad.
I'm not playing.
I'm not even playing around. Get it off your chest now.
Rachel, you hold it in.
Why do you hold it in, Rachel?
I don't hold it in.
She's not mad at me, by the way, guys.
Oh, no. My gosh. No, not a fan at all. Let's just say I was mad last night. I was mad today. And things went the way that they should go.
Today. Nice.
And that's
as much as you will say.
Situation was fixed. What did you tell me? Go ham.
I said, go ham. They play into your face. I said, nah, nigga.
And I took that personal.
And I took that personal. It's like Rachel conferred with me and Donnie. We are some black ass niggas on our, like, we some black people with a podcast is what we are. Rachel hit us up. She was mad.
No, you can't say why.
I'm not gonna say why.
Okay.
No. I know. I know how that.
Because sometimes you need to check your temper, right?
Right.
I can go from 0 to 100. Like, there's a fire in me that I have worked years to suppress, but I'm not always great at it. Okay. Yeah. The cars.
Rarely. Yeah, really, you're great. Don't open your mouth like that. Don't do that. Let's do our dragon face. Actually, that's good. Donnie, jump on. We gotta do it. All right, 3, 2, 1, Dracarys.
Okay, that was me last night. And so you gotta check yourself. Am I overreacting? Am I reaching? So I hit up Black Higher Learning sounding board, and it didn't help when your counterpart says go ham. Okay,
I said nah, fuck that shit, like, go ham. And by the way, guys, don't even ask, we're never telling. It's like, we're it is
a lesson of standing up for yourself, like, when you feel like, and I'm always hesitant because of history. I was able to have a nice conversation that I feel like I was heard. It was respected. And, you know, I think we came to middle ground and it ended fine. But it was a lesson. You know, I did not react immediately. I took it in. And I, you know, was a different person in the morning.
I have a new journey in life.
Oh, we already put Mountain Lion to the side?
No, Mountain Lion is not a journey. You know what? You want me to put my line is a calling.
Dottie.
I am learning to quarterback. Yeah. Shout out to Yale Van Oy QB Academy down there in San Antonio, Texas. Everybody, Yale Van Oy QB Academy, Yale's been helping me. I hit him up. I'm learning how to quarterback. I'm throwing every day. As I get in better shape, by the way, I'm taking a supplement that is really helping me. Okay. They don't.
With your quarterback skills?
No, it's helping me with everything in my life. I don't want to. It's a green powder. It's called Athletic Greens. It's changing my life. I'm not going to lie.
HGH.
It's not HGH. When I get on HGH, y'all going to know. I want to come in here like, oh! But no, so, you know, I'm really going well. And so I decided that as I do this, I'm going to learn a new skill because it always helps me to learn something new, you know, and I decided I'm going to learn how to quarterback. I watch these videos of, you know, quarterbacks throwing dimes, throwing really pretty balls out of their hands and dropping the ball over, reading coverages. And I've decided that I am going to learn to quarterback. And then, you know, because I play baseball my entire life. I can throw the ball, but I want to learn how to throw a pretty ball. I want to learn how to, you know, transfer my weight right. I'm going to do all of this. So I'm working with some quarterback gurus to kind of help me out. I've decided I'm going to learn how I throw every day. If you drive by a certain park in Los Angeles, but it's very sad because I don't have anybody to throw with. So I just got to throw the ball and then go pick it up and then throw it again. Or sometimes I take the soccer nets and I turn them around so that the other part of the net is facing me and I just throw the ball into the net.
Wow. That sounds so pitiful. Listen, I encourage a new hobby. I encourage, you know, I'm glad you have other interests. It sounds like this is a nice outlet for you. I have one thing to say.
What?
Should we call it quarterbacking when there aren't 10 men lined up in front of you? Should we call it quarterbacking when you have nobody to quarterback to? Or is it just simply you want to learn how to throw a ball, a football? No.
That's wrong. You're wrong.
I don't know if we can quite call it quarterbacking.
I know how to throw the ball. I expected your hate. I know how to throw the ball. I can throw the ball. I want to learn how to throw the ball, right? I want to learn how to throw the ball. Look, I did all of this stuff.
Quarterbacking before?
No. I was playing ball. So I know these coverages. I know these releases. I know these drops. I know my route tree. I know all of that. I know where the ball needs to be, but I just need to know how to deliver it. And I can tell you one thing right now. I hadn't thrown a football in years, but just Yale told me the right ball to go get. All right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yale Van Ooy QB Academy. Okay. YV QB Academy. I'm shouting them out. We have no business. He's not paying me or anything like that. He just took the time to make a chubby man's life a little easier.
Aww.
I got some warm-up stuff. I've been throwing the ball. He told me the right football to get. You know what I mean? So I'm quarterbacking now. You know,
what kind of hands does the soccer net have?
What do you mean? What kind of the soccer net? Shut up, Rachel. You know, everything I want to do. You don't believe in Van Lathan Animal Agent? Everything I want to do. You are going to be shocked when I unveil the amount of people who are reaching out to me.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
We have conservation plans for this entire country. And it doesn't help. It doesn't help that every night before I go to sleep, I watch fucking Yellowstone and I see nature.
I haven't started it yet.
Listen, which one is your friend on Yellowstone again?
Hassie.
Who does she play?
She's a roper or a barrel rider.
Wait. Oh, yeah, we talked about this. She's the blonde mm-hmm. barrel rider.
She's the blonde barrel rider.
Oh, she's trouble. She is trouble. She is ruining everything in the bunkhouse. She is literally ruined because, I don't want to spoil it, but she was with one guy in the bunkhouse, then she got with another guy in the bunkhouse, and she is ruining
the bunkhouse.
The bunkhouse is where the cowboys sleep.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's like the cowboys live on the Yellowstone, and they have the bunkhouse where it's like there's bunks. It's like bunk beds, the two, and that's where the cowboys sleep. They sleep in the bunkhouse of the Yellowstone. You know, the rest of the people in the Yellowstone have different houses, but the cowboys sleep in the bunkhouse. She's ruining the bunkhouse, ruining it.
Okay.
Tell her how I say she's ruining the bunkhouse. It's disgusting. Anyway, you were going to say?
I don't know. I don't even remember what I was going to say, but I do support you on your, listen, I'll come catch the football if you need somebody to throw the football to. I'll come catch it.
Really?
I do. Yeah. But
you're going to have to, if you come out there, we're going to make you run some routes.
That's fine.
Square in. No, you're a good athlete. It's in your family. It's
fine. No, I'm really rusty, but
oh, really?
I would come out there.
It's so funny watching Kalika try to catch the football.
She tried.
No. She's never tried to come out there with me to throw the football, but sometimes just in the house, I'll toss her something. And she is so, like, it's so funny that when you grow up your entire life catching things, catching a basketball, like the ball comes, you just, you look at it and you catch it. Mm-hmm. But like Harvey used to do this thing in TMZ, and Kalika kind of does the same thing, except she's such a great athlete, and she really is, that it took her a very long time to a very short time to catch on. Like you throw something to somebody and then they're so unsure of themselves that they put their arms out and they track it in like this. They're like, oh my God. I'm like, yo, just when it gets there, just catch it when it comes to you. Like, relax. So every once in a while, I'll toss her keys and she'll be like, this is funny. Yeah. Yeah. What else you got going on?
I'm ready for the weekend. I'm ready for the weekend.
Why? What are you doing this week?
Do I have plans? No. I don't have any plans. That's why I'm so ready for the weekend. I've been nonstop.
You've been nonstop going. Like, Rachel, we're so overworked.
Yeah.
We're so overworked, man.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh, Texas got a tough one this week.
We're Oklahoma State at Oklahoma State. It's homecoming. You know what? If Stillwater was easier to get to, I would go. Okay. It's a hard place to get to. I know I used to date somebody up there. That's a hard spot to get to.
So what do you have to do? You have to fly into Stillwater, then you have to take
you fly into Tulsa. And then you probably drive. You drive in. I used to make the drive from Austin, but you would, which is like 8 hours.
God damn, for some dick? 8 hours? Rachel, Jesus Christ.
I didn't do it often.
Like, my God.
We made it a road trip. We went with a group of friends and we'd go and have a good time. We stop in Dallas. That's a halfway point and we keep it moving.
Jesus Christ. You have changed a lot.
Yeah.
You have changed
coming
a lot.
Coming in hot.
All right. Disgusting stuff for the big deal of the day. Rachel's going to give it to you on the other side of this break.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Florida. We're back in Florida. Voter fraud arrests in Florida. Some of you guys may have seen this. Some of you may have read about it, but police cameras show confusion and anger over DeSantis's voter fraud arrests. So these videos are these body-worn camera footages that have been recorded by the local police, and they're capturing confusion and outrage of Hillsborough County residents who have found themselves in handcuffs for casting a ballot following investigations by Governor Ron DeSantis's new Office of Election Crimes and Security. Donnie, you've got the audio. This is sad. Go ahead and play it.
So apparently, I guess you have a warrant?
For what?
I'm not sure.
It's for voter stuff, man.
For voters.
I think the agents with FDLE talked to you last week about some voter fraud, voter stuff, when you weren't supposed to be voting, maybe.
I didn't.
So.
What are they talking about?
We're not the case agents, but what you got to do, they have reduced your bond quite a bit. It's two felony charges for voter fraud, but they've reduced it to $500 bonds. So it's $1,000 total.
Oh, my God, man. What? So,
yes, sir. So unfortunately, right now we're gonna have to take you to jail, but you got a bond right away. You don't have to go to first appearance, nothing like that. So
a bond? I didn't do it.
Okay. So, ma'am, we have a warrant for your arrest.
For what?
For voter fraud.
Good, how are you, sir?
Right? Oh, my God. Hold on.
Wait.
Let me tell my husband.
We're telling him. He's right here.
He's right here. So, if you could put your hands on your back, please.
Oh, my God.
Do not move.
Ultimately, ma'am, you have a warrant. Okay. The warrant. Hold on. Listen. I know you're... You caught off guard, I understand. Right? So you have a warrant. It's for voter fraud, okay? Hear me out. It's an ROR. You know what an ROR is?
Oh, my God.
You go in, you get booked, and then they're going to release you from booking.
So, these people are accused of violating a state law that doesn't allow people convicted of murder or felony sex offenses to automatically be able to vote after they complete their sentence. Now, there was a 2018 state constitutional amendment that restored the right to vote to many felons, but it excluded this group. As the videos further support, the amendment and subsequent actions by state lawmakers caused a lot of confusion. There were certain people who went to go register to vote that didn't know or thought that they couldn't register to vote, but then were told that they could register to vote. It seems like no one really knew exactly who this affected, or there were some people that slipped through the cracks. There were a lot of people who passed eligibility checks, but it turns out weren't eligible. So what DeSantis is essentially doing is making a big political show out of ruining people's lives,
right,
that are breaking the law mostly on accident. And I know that sounds really elementary, but it's just a fact. There was a specific case by one man, Nathan Hart, all right, who said that he was encouraged to vote when he was at, quote unquote, the driver's license place. Records show that this happened in March 2020. He said that he told them, "I'm a convicted felon. I'm pretty sure I can't vote," but they encouraged him to register anyway, and he registered, and he was then arrested under DeSantis cracking down.
My question is, I looked up this law. What I was trying to understand is if there had to be intent by the person who was allegedly committing voter fraud. It's not written that way, so it doesn't seem that that's a thing. There doesn't have to be, you don't have to prove intent. But my thing is, clearly, the people who have been arrested and the few we have heard from are totally confused. And when you talk to more people who are situated closely, like somewhat familiar with this law, there seems to be a statewide confusion over how this, when the law changed in 2018, how it should have been implemented. And nobody corrected it. And now it seems like this is the first time, or this time period is the first time that we're dealing with it, as Ron DeSantis is trying to put on a show before the midterms. My question is, if the application, your voter registration application, has to be approved by the Secretary of State, which they obviously approved to allow these people to the ability to vote in 2020, shouldn't they be an accessory to all this? Shouldn't they be like they allowed it to happen? They approved these applications. I'm sure that's not something that's on the books, but I think there's an argument to be made that these people didn't register themselves to vote. They either, it would happen to them at the DMV. Somebody, I read one story where they were approached by someone at the bus stop. And then there's also records of people getting misinformation in the mail about that they're able to vote. It sounds like these people were targeted by some kind of PAC or something organization to get these people to vote, to then eventually be told that they had to be arrested and they broke the law. Yeah, I feel like that there are more people that have to be responsible for this. Or as this one county, I read one prosecutor in a specific county says he's refusing to prosecute because there is so much confusion. How can I prosecute when people don't even understand what it is? Even if the policeman in that first clip sounds exhausted.
Yeah. So the 2018 constitutional amendment was very controversial. I remember when that was happening. Mm. It was very controversial. And there are people who didn't like it. So there's two things that are going on here. The first one is just that people are being petty. They're taking mm-hmm. advantage of the fact that this is a relatively new thing. Mm-hmm. And that there is some confusion at the state level, which there always is going to be when you're sure. trying to govern to the many millions of people that are in Florida. There are going to be some issues here that are going to elude the systems in place to catch them. It's the way that it goes. Okay. The term voter fraud has been hijacked by certain people to mean we didn't win, boo-hoo, ka-choo. We're going to make sure that we show everyone that we're cracking down on something that's not real. Mm-hmm. Right? So anytime you can take the term voter fraud and make it look like you're doing something about it, it makes it look like two things. One, black people who tend to vote Democrat are the ones perpetrating this voter fraud. Right. It makes it easier to suppress their votes. It makes it easier to make it believable that there was widespread voter fraud in the 2020 elections, which is what this is all a dog whistle to. And when you crack down on these people, it looks like you have a point. See, these are the people that cost Trump the election. These are the people that cost other people in statewide elections all over the place. Once again, America's favorite pastime, blame the niggas. But there is something else here that is interesting to me, and I wonder why more people don't see this. Ron DeSantis is the governor of Florida,
mm-hmm.
right? What does it mean to be the governor of a place? What does it mean to be the leader of a place? What it means to me is that what you do is in the best interest for the average citizen of the place that you lead, the place that you're in charge of. So the average citizen, right, wants to be safe, wants to be economically solvent, wants to be free. The average citizen wants that. And once you've paid your debt to society and come back out and you're on the other side of that, you are, my friends, the average citizen. So to me, it's incumbent upon a public servant to act in the best interest of the average citizen. What I'd ask people is that whether or not you're on the left or the right, do you think torturing these people for what amounts to a clerical error is doing that? Is Ron DeSantis the governor of Florida, or is he Florida's overseer? Because those are two completely different things. We're talking about bonds for $500, $1,000. If you're not on the coast, you don't know how fucking much money that is. I'm sure there are people that are listening to this, and there are people that are, you know, have criticized me in the past about saying, you know, this is whatever, talked about whatever. But that's a lot of money. I get people who hit me up. I get people hitting me up from Baton Rouge asking me, yo, Van, can I hold $50?
Yep. Same.
Can I hold $50? $500, $1,000 for the people that are going to, some of the people are going to be in the jail for a while. Now, I don't know who's doing what in order to bond some of these people out. And I don't know if there's a 10% option there. I'm not sure the way that it works. If the bond is 1,000, if you can bond out for 100, I don't know what's going on. But some of those people, if your bond is $500, $1,000, you're going to be in jail for a while. So my question is, just as a human being, I know that you guys, this is not going to resonate with anyone that's in the DeSantis, on the DeSantis train, but just as a human being, do people see precisely what it is that we're up against? We're not up against politicians. We're up against overseers and masses who want to punish people to make an example for the rest of the slaves on the plantation. And there's no way that anyone that cared about the people in Florida, that cared about the life of the average Floridian, would do something like this just to add stripes to their shoulder. It's disgusting.
I think the key thing you said
punk
is
motherfucker.
I think the key thing you said is about when you talk about people caring. These people who are supporters of Ron DeSantis do not care about these people who are going to jail, because the people that are going to jail for this, getting arrested, are not just felons. And I'm not saying I agree with this. This is how they're going to look at it. They either were convicted of a murder or a sex crime. The Ron DeSantis people do not look at these people as human beings. Do not think that they're the average citizen. think that they're helping clean up their state by putting these people back in jail, even if it is for a clerical error. And that's the problem. And this isn't the first time we've seen Ron DeSantis do something for show for the eventual votes that he wants to get for himself at the expense of humanity.
Yeah, sure. Speaking of sex crimes, Arizona GOP candidate arrested for allegedly masturbating in his truck near preschool. What the fuck?
Can you? I don't think we have audio of the back and forth with this GOP candidate and the police officer, but would you like to read? Should we? Do you want to be the officer or Kaufman?
I think that I should be Kaufman and you'll be the officer. So okay. Randy Kaufman was arrested on October 4th. He suspended his campaign following media reports of his arrest. He's running for the governing board of the Maricopa County Community College District and was allegedly caught jacking his cock by the county's community college police. The report says the incident began when an officer with the Maricopa County Community College's police department approached Kaufman, parked in his vehicle, and saw the man with his pants down. I'll go with Kaufman.
We don't have the audio. We have the transcript. So we're going to do a live reading.
I'm really stressed out. I have a lot of things going on.
Is this something you normally do?
No.
Well, I saw you had your phone out while you were doing what you were doing. What's going on with the phone?
I was watching porn.
Well, what kind of porn were you watching?
Interracial. Just keep going, Rachel.
Okay. When you look around here, what do you see?
So, the child center. But I didn't notice it until you came up and I got out of the truck. Are you going to put that in your report?
This is where our transcript ends.
Kaufman said he wanted to protect the children from the progressive left in a Facebook post in May. Jesus Christ. This could be a felony because of its proximity to the preschool.
Hasn't been charged with one, though, yet. Just a public sexual indecency.
So, what's the thing? Because it's not the first case that I've heard of people jacking off. And Kellen Winslow did this, and he turned out to be a fucking lunatic. Remember.
I thought he was so cute.
Nigga, that's what you come up with? Like, what the fuck?
Wait, let me clarify.
What the fuck?
You looked at me like, Jesus Christ. No, you looked at me like, do you know who he is? And I'm like, yeah, I used to think he was so cute prior to all this that came out. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, yeah, he stood out to me because I thought he was attractive. It's my point.
So Kellen Winslow did all these crazy things. Like, I'm saying, he was like a serial rapist. He was terrible, right? Like, he's gone forever now. But before this, he got caught jacking off in the parking lot of a Boston market. Let me tell you guys something. Is as somebody, you know, who's experienced in the art.
Oh, the art.
You don't do it in the parking lot of a school. You don't do it in the parking lot of a Boston market. There's something wrong. And a lot of I don't know. And there's a lot of guys out here that are listening. Like, yeah, man, not at the Boston market, man. Not at the school. There's a lot of guys out there right now that know, the people that are in the, they know you don't do it there. It's just a shameful thing anyway. And it shouldn't be, but there's times when you do it and you just like, man, what's wrong with me?
That's got to be something. You get all like riled up for it.
Yeah.
It happens, and then immediately you feel bad about it.
Cause you get, cause
it's not worth it.
Sometimes you get like crazy fucking, obviously not sometimes, all the time, you get crazy clear and you just, your room looks a little messier. You look fatter. You're all, and you're like, Jesus Christ, I'm sick. And then you have to stop. And so this guy who was doing this, I just wonder how could you in the car by school? These Republicans are sick.
Yeah. I can't even call it when you start, you mentioned Winslow and then him, and I'm like, is it a fetish thing? But then that's a disgusting fetish when you want to do it by a school. You want people around, you want it in public. I don't know.
I'll be honest with you. The Republicans don't do a good job. You got Gates out there, sex trafficking. You know, you got Trump partying with Epstein. Everybody did. But I'm saying, like, they got some real, it seemed like they want to protect the children so they can have them for themselves.
Yeah, starting the rumors about us, it definitely sounds like projecting. And may it also be known that Kaufman, although he has suspended his campaign, it's still too close to the election, so he's still on the ballot. And people also did early voting. So very well may be elected.
Nah, man. Jackoff Johnny can't win. Jackoff Johnny, Handy Andy Kaufman. What's his real name?
I thought you were going to make a thing up with the Kaufman, like Cock and Kaufman.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Oh, he's Randy. Handy Randy. He's Randy. Handy Randy Kaufman. You can't win, bro. You're going to be jacking off everywhere. That's not going to be the only... He's going to... Like, guys like that...
Handy Randy.
He's going to jack off in the committee chamber where everybody's gone. He's just going to be jacking off all over the place. We can't have this. He has no couth about his masturbatory process.
Interracial porn.
And then that's another thing. They want to... It's so telling. Of course he would be on blacked.com. You know what I mean? Of course he would be on. Of course he would be on there. You know what I'm saying?
Got another type of fetish too.
Got another type of fetish. He's just probably so mad he can't have Beyonce.
So honest, by the way. Interracial porn.
Interracial. It's like, what? First of all, what the fuck? It's crazy. Okay, guys, speaking of political stuff, we have Sherry Beasley, who's running for... Running for a Senate seat in North Carolina on the show today.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com. to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
You're going to go ahead and run that now, I think.
Yeah, I think we need to.
I think we should go ahead and run that now. It's a quick one with Sherry. She had 15 minutes, but she's in a very tight race with, what's his name, Tim Budd, down there in North Carolina. I guess it's up there in North Carolina because it's the north of the south. But she gave us some of her time. We hope that you learn a lot more about her. She's up next on Higher Learning. Okay, guys, there is a very tight race going on in North Carolina right now for the Senate seat that is up for grabs there. Sherry Beasley is facing off against Ted Budd for a Senate seat in North Carolina. We told you guys we'd be giving you more of candidates we think that you need to hear from, so that you're prepared for November. And we are delighted to have Sherry Beasley joining us today. Her accolades are astounding. Chief Justice of the North Carolina Supreme Court, from 2019 to 2020. Previously served on the North Carolina Court of Appeals, the first black woman to win election to a statewide office in North Carolina without being appointed by a governor. Wow.
Mm.
Amazing. And in a very tough race, tight race right now, Sherry, how are you doing? Thank you for joining us today on Higher Learning.
It's great to see you, Van and Rachel. I'm really thankful for where we are in this race. You know, as you just mentioned, Van, I have served as a judge for over two decades and served as the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of North Carolina. And I've been in court almost every day, upholding the Constitution and protecting the rule of law and making sure that laws apply equally to all folks. And what I know is that Washington has often failed people here in North Carolina, and I know it's time for that to change. We have an amazing opportunity here in North Carolina to elect a senator who is not all embroiled in the pettiness of partisan politics, who really gets the kinds of issues that people are grappling with here in the state and who's prepared to fight hard for North Carolina.
So my first question for you, Sherry, is, what did your experience as a judge on that side of the law? Rachel's dad is a federal judge. Okay, the judge. What did your experience on that side of the law? What did that do in terms of your political agenda and outlook? How did seeing that part of the justice system inform your beliefs into what you feel like North Carolina needs to be and what the United States needs to be?
Well, you know, I served in all of our state courts. I was a family court judge and a juvenile court judge. I was a criminal law judge and civil law, and served in our appellate courts. And people don't come to court on their best days, and businesses don't tend to come to court on their best days. And I think it's always really important to appreciate that that whatever brings folks to court, whether it is families or communities or whatever it is, that there has to be humanity behind whatever's happening. And that as a judge, I always felt like, in addition to applying the law, also understanding that the person or business before me found itself in a situation that was truly difficult, not just for them, but for before their families and for communities around them. And so I just know that for so many people, it matters that humanity is a part of decision making, but also it matters in the Senate, because we certainly want senators who understand that laws must be passed that are grounded in humanity and that work for folks here in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. I want to piggyback on exactly what you just said. We know that there are going to be a lot of issues, not just in the midterms, but also on the ballot in 2024. And whoever takes that seat is going to have, you know, a long road ahead of them. When it comes to the issues that are important to you, that you would, when it comes to the issues that you would be, that would be on your plate as a senator, what are the most important issues to you?
You know, we have a big state. We're the ninth largest in the nation. We're about 100, with 100 counties, and about a third of the people who live here earn less than $15 an hour. It's not at all uncommon for folks who live in rural communities to commute an hour each way to work. And everywhere I travel and across our state, folks are very concerned about rising costs. They're feeling everything from pain at the pump to the cost of prescription drugs and everything in between. And in the greatest country in the world, folks should not be struggling to figure out how to pay for groceries or school supplies or high-priced medications. And Congress really must act. I mean, people are having a hard time, and that really would be my priority. I mean, thankfully, I can walk and chew gum at the same time. And so that's one of the many issues that have to be addressed. I know it's important to fight to protect our constitutionally protected right to abortion for women. And I also know that the climate crisis is real. Folks need access to affordable health care. So many folks here in North Carolina are working two and three jobs to take care of their families. The issues are critical, and folks want to know that their issues will make it to the floor of the Senate, and that's exactly what I'm prepared to fight for.
What is the those problems are really pronounced right now for a lot of Americans, because you're going to be representing North Carolina when you win, but you're also going to be voting on things that affect Americans from coast to coast. Those problems that you just outlined are real. What answers do you have for either inflation or, you know, climate issues? Obviously, codifying Roe is slam dunk, and we should try to do that if we can get the numbers in the Senate. But right now, if you had the power to unilaterally do something, how would you attack inflation?
Well, you know, I think we have to realize that the supply chain issue is the greatest factor in contributing to inflation. But the other piece of this is Congress really does have the tools to act. And the other piece of this is we, as Americans, pay more for medicine than any other country in the world. Congress can fix that. You know, corporations are seeing record profits, 70-year record profits, and using inflation as a cover to jack up prices on the things that we need. Congress can fix that. So the Senate really must act boldly to change things for folks here in North Carolina and across the country. In terms of abortion, I mean, the reality is, the question is, who makes the decision? Is it a woman and her doctor, or is it politicians up in Washington? And I know that my opponent, Congressman Ted Budd, has led the charge on an absolute ban for abortion without exception. Yeah, without exceptions for rape, incest, or risk to a mother's health. And so for a woman who is sexually abused, I mean, it means that she has to go forward with that pregnancy. For a woman who has an ectopic pregnancy or a septic uterus or a miscarriage that her body won't release, we don't always say it this way, but the treatment, the life-saving treatment, is an abortion. And if women don't have access, it means that women will die, which is absolutely unacceptable. And anytime our freedoms are on the line, I will be fighting, and I will certainly fight very hard to make sure that Roe versus Wade becomes the law of the land.
Mm. We're not in North Carolina, so we definitely don't know all the, you know, where the race necessarily stands or what the particularly is happening in the state, because we don't have boots on the ground. But
it's 44-46. We're in striking distance, and I think she's going to win anyway.
No, she's going to win. And so my question is, how can we, we've got listeners all over, how can we help make this race go in favor of you? How can we, like Van said, striking distance. Yes, we are. What is it that our listeners need to know so they can not just act on it, but they can tell somebody else to do that?
You know, I hope wherever you are across the country that you will join Team Beasley. There are things you can do to help the campaign without ever leaving your home. We are phone banking. We have text banks. We are knocking doors. So we certainly would love to have you come here to North Carolina. But if you go to sherrybeasley.com for more information about how you can be a part of our campaign, it is all hands on deck. And, you know, in North Carolina, appellate judges run in contested statewide elections. I've had two successful ones before. I've been in tough fights before. I've never backed down, and I will not back down now. This is a critical election. I know we were all told that the 2020 election was the most important election of our lifetimes, but, you know, if my late mother were here, who was granted the right to vote because of the Voting Rights Act, she would tell us that every election is the most important election of our lifetimes. And I know that people of color and Black folks and Black and brown folks can ill afford to be on the sidelines when there are so many critical issues on the ballot. I mean, healthcare justice is on the ballot, and education justice is on the ballot, environmental justice and climate change justice on the ballot. And all of these things are disparately impacting our communities. We have to be out there. We have got to make sure that people feel a sense of empowerment around the vote. And the reality is, folks would not be working so hard to take away the right to vote if it didn't matter.
Absolutely. Yes. So I got one more for you, a quick one. It's a good news, bad news question. North Carolina is three cities in North Carolina rank in the top three for Black economic success. That is Charlotte, Durham, and Raleigh. That's something to be very proud of up there in North Carolina. However, there are still statistics that say that Black households in North Carolina on average make between $15,000 to $20,000 less than their white households. What would you do? What should we do to attack that figure to make sure that black families are not lagging behind white families in their search and their drive for the American dream?
You know, and that drive is important. I mean, I certainly wouldn't be here without it. And my grandparents came from Alabama, and my grandparents both knew that they needed to leave Alabama so that our family would have a future and really strive for the American dream. You know, and there are opportunities. I think it's important to talk about what they are. But that's why it matters who your U.S. senator is, because she must share your values. She must share your priorities for opportunities that come to communities all across North Carolina. We need to make sure we're bringing good paying jobs to everybody here in North Carolina. We are working hard to boost our manufacturing and tech industries. There are a wealth of opportunities through colleges and universities here, of course, but also through apprenticeship and vocational programs that my opponent, Congressman Budd, voted against. I mean, certainly support these programs. These are good earn while you learn programs, and they match folks with great employment opportunities with good companies after they finish these programs. So part of it is just making sure that people have the information and that they're seizing these opportunities. But the other piece is that the opportunities have to be available. We also have to make sure that our Black farmers and Black small business owners have the support that they need to stay in business, to thrive and to grow. And those opportunities have to be made available to them as well.
One quick last question, if we have time. I think sometimes it's important to know what the other side or what you're fighting against to not happen in the state of North Carolina. What would North Carolina look like if he does win? I think people need to know, other than an abortion ban, an override abortion ban with no exceptions, what else is it that you're fighting against that wouldn't be there when you take the seat?
Well, you know, right now, abortion is legal in North Carolina. We have 100 counties. We're a big state. There are only 9 of those counties, only 9 out of 100 where a woman can get an abortion. And so we have women who are coming from Texas and Louisiana here to get an abortion. It is a frightening time. But we also know that if there is an absolute ban on abortion in North Carolina or anywhere else across this country, we know that women will die. And that's an absolutely unacceptable alternative to making these abortions available. And the reality is, in an exam room with a woman and her doctor, there's no place in there for Congressman Budd to help make that decision.
Hmm. SherryBeasley.com for Senator in North Carolina. Thank you so much for giving us some time. We wish you all the best on the race. And we'll be checking back in with your team to make sure things are going swimmingly. Thank you so much for joining us on Higher Learning.
Thank you, Rachel and Van.
Thank you.
Okay, Monique is back.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. You could be doing anything this week, right? You've got work, errands, friends, and a whole lot of fun in between. That's why the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the capable SUV that's built for your life. With premium interiors, available wireless charging, and room for your whole cargo and crew. Okay, Hyundai. Visit HyundaiUSA.com to learn more about the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe.
Monique's back.
Monique reposts Oprah Winfrey's biggest mistake was betraying Monique video. says the video is worth a million to her. The actress and comedian, I guess it's just comedian, went recently made amends with Lee Daniels, right? Her and Lee Daniels
yes,
are cool.
Yes.
However, she still is not fucking with Oprah. Monique has had a lot of problems with a lot of different people in Hollywood. Lee Daniels, Oprah.
Recently, D.L. Hughley.
D.L. Hughley. Who are we missing?
Steve Harvey and her kind of had a little spat.
Steve Harvey had a little spat. Will Packer.
Oh, I don't know if I knew about that.
Will Packer. By the way, I'm not saying that Monique is necessarily wrong or right. I'm just saying that, you know, Monique, sister's a fighter. She'll fight you if she feels like she's right. This is the audio from her talking about Oprah.
Oprah Winfrey, people are beginning to see you for who you are.
Oprah is known for changing people's lives for the better.
But why is she accused of ruining actor Monique's life?
How do you, as a black woman, watch another black woman be thrown under the bus based off of a lie?
She trusted Oprah with her secrets.
I shared my relationship with her about my mother.
But then
I began to see commercials with my mother, with my brother.
Monique's older brother, Gerald, comes clean.
I did inappropriately touch my sister.
He abused you from the time you were 7.
Oprah Winfrey, what you did was malicious, and it was intentional, and it was ugly.
But after Monique finally stood up for herself, she was attacked.
Started getting labeled as difficult.
For 8 years, my family has suffered and my career has suffered.
Monique is in the media right now. Why don't you address it?
Oh my gosh, because it's impossible.
You can't meet negative energy where it is.
Oprah has disrespected victims many times in her career.
Is Monique going to be the one to finally take down Oprah?
Oprah Winfrey,
I'm never ever going to waver.
Stop hiding. You know what you need to do.
A lot of people said, how could you say that? Oprah is a human being.
You're laughing. Why are you laughing? Is it how dramatic all of that was? Was that your first time listening to it?
Oh my God, man. What the fuck are we doing, man? What the hell is happening? Dude, I just looked on the rundown. Is there a story on the rundown about people twerking in a cornfield, in a cotton field?
You yes. hadn't seen that?
No, I haven't seen. What the fuck is happening? Like what? Did you hear how serious that audio was? hold on real quick. Monique is accusing Oprah. Just let's contextualize the accusation here. It seems like for me from hearing that, Monique is accusing Oprah of platforming the family members that are responsible for her sexual abuse, then ruining Monique's career in Hollywood on purpose. Like, is that what I'm to gather?
She's saying that she confided in Oprah about something that happened to her, and Oprah turned around and made it a story, made it a headline. So it sounds like she did it without Monique's consent. And then it sounds like Monique spoke out about it. And then via Oprah, she was blackballed in Hollywood from that. So that's what it sounds like. Somebody created this whole compilation and Monique reposted it on social media and said, if a picture's worth 1,000 words, this is worth 1,000,000 or something like that.
Do you believe this, that Oprah did this to Monique? I'm just asking. I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, I would hope that she's not lying. I mean, maybe it's a miscommunication. Maybe Oprah thought, oh, you know, you want me to. I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is Monique's upset. Monique's hurt. She feels like she's been wrong. It is true that she was blackballed because Lee Daniels has come out and like they've made up. And I think he admitted to her that that was the case.
Well, then everybody's friends. And by the way, we have to get a hold on the term blackball. If somebody fucks over you right now, I wouldn't hire them. I'm not saying that Monique, like if somebody fucks over you.
It seems deeper than that though, with whatever.
I get it. But all of these people be going to Hawaii together. Like Tyler Perry, Monique, Lee Daniels, they chill. And you know, they chill and drink the blood of virgins together so that they can further their media empires. Just joking with you guys. I fuck with all of you guys. But they chill. So if it couldn't it be more, I don't know if it's black, but look, Monique is a fantastic performer.
Monique says she didn't work for years. And she is right. She won an Oscar. We saw her everywhere.
That's true.
And then we saw her nowhere.
Nowhere. She and nowhere. Really. But the only thing I would say to that is the only after that, after she won the Oscar, let me see when this movie came out.
Because let's be, Monique had a hit show, an Oscar-winning performance.
Monique is
selling out shows across the country. Like, this woman was at the top of her game.
Yeah.
And then it was like, and I know, and here's the thing. The whole narrative of people being difficult to work with, that's so many people in Hollywood. So you can't even say that, oh, you know, she's difficult. I'm not saying she is. I'm just saying that's what some people say. A lot of people in Hollywood are difficult to work with.
Right.
And they continue to have success. So I would say, who knows what the truth really is, but it seems like there's some truth into what Monique's saying. If you just look at where her career was to where she's trying to get it back to.
So this is what the only thing that people would say is that after this happened, she did Almost Christmas in 2016.
And what was she Almost Christmas?
Almost Christmas was the Will Packer movie. And then all of a sudden, you know, Will Packer cast her despite whatever blackball might have. And then she went at Will Packer. So a lot of people would think, and I'm not ready to, Monique is way too meaningful to my life. I've been watching Monique for a long time. But a lot of people just sometimes don't understand how she's always in the middle of something. But it could be that sometimes Monique is the only voice in the room that's not on the bullshit. Who knows?
The only time Monique rubbed me the wrong way is when she was talking about how people were dressed in airports. Other than that, other than that, I think there is some truth to what she's saying. How true? Who knows? We'll never know. But
yeah, I'm looking at this right here, though, on some real shit. Precious is in 2009. She's done four movies since. After you win an Academy Award, that's fucking
unheard of.
And
that's what she was saying. And that's what she was saying.
That's fucking unheard of. I'll be honest with you. That's fucking unheard of. There's really no way to get around that, if you're being real.
Yeah.
Young Jock. Should have had Jock on the show. Jock, you my nigga. I did a radio hit in Atlanta for years. Young Jock and the whole crew. Miss those guys. Jock, this an L, dog. It's not going to happen. Young Jock accidentally sent $1,800 to Zelle to the wrong person. I'm not saying that that's not a lot of money, because it is. People was like, nigga, you can't do without $1,800. Nigga, can you do without $1,800?
It's not that. That's not what matters. It's $1,800 that was intended for somebody else. Somebody else was supposed to receive it. Somebody else needed it.
Yeah. Now Jock almost out almost $4,000. So here's the thing. Can you please return the $1,800 that I mistakenly sent to your account via Zelle? I don't know you, nor do you know me. Please do the right thing. God has a bigger blessing. God has a bigger blessing for you. The person apparently ignored Young Jock. I know you've blocked my number and that's okay. I just need the $1,800 that was sent to your account. So then he put it on Twitter. He put it on Instagram for people to put pressure on a person to return the money. Nigga, that's not happening, Jock. It's like
you made the mistake. I'm not saying that they're right for taking the money from you, but you made the mistake, and then you're gonna put their number on blast for everybody to see. This is not the way to go about it. You do have to take the L in this
case. They should send the money
back. They should, but this is not the
answer. I'm gonna be.
I used that money to change my number. I changed my number, get a new phone.
You nigga, you didn't come up. You didn't come up. I don't know one person back in Baton Rouge who would give the money back.
Man, I don't know if I would originally. I would look at it. You talking about blessings. This was a blessing from God.
That's what everybody on Shade Room was like, hey, man, you blessed them. That's a blessing. Move on. Take that L. Y'all, Did I ever tell you the Christmas Eve story?
I don't think so.
I did tell you the Christmas Eve Christian story with my cousin and how he found the wallet.
Yes. I didn't know it was Christmas Eve.
Yeah, it's not a blessing if it's like, so you think that that could be a blessing? You think it's a, I don't think it's a blessing.
You don't know what that person.
They're essentially stealing the money from Young Jock. They're stealing the money.
What if that person, they don't know that at first, right? What if that person was just like on their last dollar and was like, I just need a sign. And then ding, the phone goes off. $1,800 is in your Bank of America account. What? They could have immediately cut the lights back on. They could have immediately put food on the table. You know what I mean? You don't know.
You know what my grandmother says, huh?
Oh, what?
The devil will bless you too. Young Jock said that them people had a bigger blessing coming.
Well, that would have made me more mad.
That would have pissed me off. That would have pissed me off. You don't tell me about my blessings when I'm counting up this 1800. So think about this. So whoever Young Jock was trying to send the 1800 to, either now they don't get the 1800, or Young Jock has to send them another 1800. So Young Jock is out $3,600 if those people get their 1800. If not, they don't get their 1800. Somebody else, plus that's probably in Atlanta. We know damn well that money going to the Hookah Lounge. We know damn well that money going to R&B Wednesday nights. Brian Michael Cox, shout out to B Cox in Atlanta. We know damn well that money going to the Hookah Lounge. And talk about blessing. That money getting blessed right over the Cheetahs. If Follies was still open, it would go there.
Listen, it's a very specific number. That's why I'm like, 1800? That's so specific. I'm taking a few guesses as to who that was going to.
Who do you think it was going to? What are you talking about?
It's specific. It went 2,000, 1,000. I don't know. He was probably paying somebody's bill.
What bill?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you had some other knowledge. I thought, okay.
No, not like, I'm just saying.
All right, Donnie, could you do me a favor? I haven't seen this yet. Could you post in the chat this twerking video so that I could watch it in real time?
All
right. Oh, I saw this a while back.
How long ago did you see it? Two Mississippi women go viral on TikTok.
Maybe a couple of weeks ago.
Twerking in the cotton field. Yeah, let's see. Let me see here. This is it. Hold up. TikTok. If you see your friend getting ratchet, we see your friend getting ratchet. When that beat drop, I need you to get up and hype your best friend up. Hype up, tell him. Yeah, I said, let me ask you this, though. Just real quick. Do we think that this never happened?
It's not that.
I'm just asking, because like...
What was the year they said 1860?
1860.
Here's the difference. I'm not saying that they didn't, you know, like as Black people, we have learned to laugh and try to smile
out there all day
through our pain. I'm sure jokes were made. The difference is in 1860, they didn't have that long to get around and do that because somebody was coming through to
You mean to tell me the overseers on their horse, they see all of that ass because the lady was slightly gifted. Apologize, Kalika. Like if they see all of that and they're going to stop them?
Yes, for having a good time. Yes,
Donnie,
yes.
Give me the devil's advocate sound.
Can you dig it?
All right, this is disgusting. I gotta be honest with you guys. Like, I'll try to play devil's advocate. It's just, it's just anything. I understand that we're trying to be funny, and it's not the first time that people have made jokes about like
slavery jokes.
We don't want to talk about slavery as if it was a fun time, you know. Were fun times had? I tried to play devil's advocate, guys. I couldn't. I tried to give you guys what you want. This is not this. Come on, guys. We're going to lose.
It always comes back to the invitation. You allow other people to be lax. This shouldn't be. We shouldn't be, but especially shouldn't be about the situation. I mean, you look at the comments, you have white people saying, I know I shouldn't be laughing, but I watched this so many times. You desensitize people to it. And I get social media is fun and you want to joke and stuff, but you didn't have to do that one.
See, that's where I disagree, though. I don't think that how white people feel about it should factor into it. Like, why?
I think
like,
you desensitize people to make jokes about slavery.
Why do we always have to worry about what white people are going to say?
It's not worrying about. It's not worrying about what white people are going to say. It's acknowledging that's a natural thing to happen. Oh, they talked about it. Put any kind of context. Oh, she's a woman. She made fun of this. That gives me permission to laugh at that as a man. Like, it happens all the time with stuff like this. It's not considering what white people will do. It is what actually happens.
I think that's a little Stephen A. Smith-ish of you.
Keep going.
No, I get what you're saying, but it's not about how it makes them feel. It's about how it makes us feel.
Do you not see how that's all wrapped up into it? I'm saying to see people, it's one thing if, like, you know what, if somebody showed me that behind closed doors and not in public, I could see like the joke in it. Right. I'd be like, that's fucked up. But like, that's not. But then you publicize it. Right. So now you open everybody else up to talk about it. People who shouldn't be smiling or laughing or seeing this kind of joke about slavery. It does make me feel a certain way to see other people enjoying this type of content. I don't think anybody should. So that's what it does indirectly affect me is the point when I say
I understand what you're saying. And I think that. In the grand scheme of things, what you're saying is probably very, very full of merit, but this is my thing. My thing is, I think sometimes we have intra-community conversations with white people, and I think it only strengthens their hold on us. So even if this person was dead wrong, and they are, whoever this person is, it's got 109 million likes. Jesus Christ. But like one TikToker commented that the video has set the community back 3 centuries. I mean, you niggas don't have any respect for yourselves. That's been proven. But but I'm just saying, sometimes I feel like, who gives a fuck what white people think? Like, not even who gives what they think. We should be able to set a standard. Give you an example. The producers, the show. In the producers, the show, They do a play called Springtime for Hitler, right? And in that Springtime for Hitler thing, there's all these funny jokes around the Holocaust. Mel Brooks made that, right? Mm. And Mel Brooks made The Producers, which he was trying to make the worst play ever, and then he ends up making a play that everybody likes, whatever. Mel Brooks made that. It's a big joke, Springtime for Hitler in the whole deal.
Okay.
I don't think that anybody thought, or I don't think that people necessarily think that it's okay to make fun or make light of the Holocaust because a Jewish guy did it in his play. Because I think they take the Holocaust seriously, rather whether or not Jewish people take it seriously or not, we know that they do, and it was a very terrible thing that happened. I think that at times they look to us as they say, hey, like, it shouldn't take black people being upstanding about slavery for white people to feel bad about it. It shouldn't take black people.
I agree with that.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
I just don't think that's what I was saying, but I agree with what you're saying.
I'm not saying that that's what you were saying. Okay, don't turn on me. I know who you're saying. I know who this anger is really, really directed to. All right. Animal agent story. Woman released bees on deputies serving eviction notice. The deputies arrived at a $1.5 million home of homeowner Alton King. And She went to the back of the trailer and started shaking beehives to let the bees out. I got to tell a story. She put a beekeeper suit on and began letting more bees out. This is fucking amazing. Some of the bee people were stung. She tried to pull a Thomas J on all of these guys.
Oh my God.
She did. She didn't know.
You can't refer to it as pulling a Thomas J. Oh, she did.
She tried to pull a Thomas J on these guys.
I do understand.
Yeah. She tried to pull a Thomas J on these guys. She didn't know. Like, she didn't know what was going to happen to him. By the way, why did he have to die? Like, why did Thomas J have to die?
That movie was... I can't talk. I literally think that's the first movie I've ever cried in. I can't talk about that movie. They never wanted us to see it again.
I was in class one time and they were talking about the movie. I hadn't seen it yet. And they go, yeah, you know, it's very sad at the end. I was like, what could be sad about it? It was like what's another white girl getting older? They always make movies about white girls growing up. Like, it's another white girl getting older. And he's like, no, the bees, you'd have to see it. And I went and saw this shit. I'm like, no, why, yo, man, why am I looking at this? I don't have enough fucking problems.
This is deep.
Why the fuck am I looking at this? Like, it's just traumas, the bees that bit up fucking Thomas. Just, man, rest in peace to my nigga. I could be more on this woman's side. This lady, this is in Longmeadow, Massachusetts. You know, they were trying to take her home.
No, it wasn't her home. It was somebody else's home. We don't know how this woman was affiliated with Alton. Jesus.
Hold on. That's even better. You don't even understand. This woman is a fucking Avenger. This is Bee Woman. I want a Donnie Finder.
Does it change your mind at... Well, start looking up at the local precincts because she's been arrested. But does it bother you at all that some of the officers said, hey, we're allergic, and she said, good?
Yeah, no, fuck no, no, not at all. Because Bee Woman's secret, she's even more powerful. Like, she's even more powerful. She put on you gotta understand, she put on a superhero costume. She got in the beekeeper's costume.
And she went to possibly kill people.
She was trying to save a man's...
Only you would see it that way.
Yeah, well, shout out to her.
This is funny.
Shout out to her.
Everybody seems to be okay, by the way. Yes, people are allergic. Everybody seems to be okay.
Stop sending the police to take people's houses, man. Bee Woman. Bee Woman needs to pop up everywhere. Bee Woman, I want to see Bee Woman everywhere. I want to see Bee Woman with like a bulletproof hive on, like she wearing it in her beekeeper's uniform. She put the beekeeper's uniform on. She got in formation. Fuck, man. All right, Donnie, mailbag. Let's go. Mailbag time. Time to read your letters and then we'll reply to them. Oh, it's mailbag time. Write us with your queries and we'll chime in.
All right. So majority of these are Halloween related. So I'm going to go with those first. First one is from Katie Knott's photo on Instagram. She asks, what's your favorite Halloween movie?
So like scary movie?
Not necessarily scary. There's some non-scary Halloween movies. Halloween Town.
Like the movie has to be themed Halloween? Okay, it's like a themed Halloween, not just a scary movie, I guess is my question.
Right, yeah.
But
I don't think I have a favorite Halloween.
That's why I said, do they mean scary movie?
Is the Monster Squad a Halloween movie? You guys ever seen the Monster Squad?
No, I guess I would have to say Hocus Pocus.
I like Hocus Pocus, but Hocus Pocus is a little bit overrated. You know, it's like
You didn't see the sequel.
If we're doing witch movies, I prefer Practical Magic.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I like Practical Magic. You know, Hocus Pocus is cool. It's gay, but I like the Monster Squad. The Monster Squad is a movie from the 80s where these kids have to fight monsters. And because all the classic monsters come back, I don't think it's in the I don't think it happens at Halloween, though. But I'm not much on Halloween movies.
I know. I'm trying to think. I mean, that's what, as Halloween, what's the best Halloween? How many of you, how many of them have you seen?
I've seen them all.
Did you see the last Halloween, one?
Yeah. I like the Halloween with LL Cool J in it. It was Busta Rhymes in it. One of those guys.
I think, no.
There's Busta, two separate ones.
Busta Rhymes was definitely in it. I saw that one.
Kung Fu.
I don't think I saw the one with LL.
I don't know, man. This is kind of, this question was kind of whack. I'm not going to lie.
No, go ahead, Donnie. Go to the next one.
Appreciate you, Katie Knott's photo. All right. The next one is from Sabo333Sabo on Reddit. Do you like pumpkin spice flavored food or drink?
No. Donnie, next question. Now, y'all what know we fuck? Don't, black folks don't do pumpkin.
Man, all that pumpkin ass shit, that fucking shit out of my face. I want to answer a question that I've been getting on Instagram and on Twitter. And it's about a very specific ad read that I do for Philadelphia cream cheese.
Okay.
You motherfuckers won't let me have my own life. Rachel, let me tell you what happened. And my sister Ebony can attest to this. We went to visit my auntie Gail in Minnesota. The same time we went up to Grand Marais, Minnesota, the same time we went up to Thunder Bay, Ontario, we went to visit my Auntie Gail in Minnesota. And when we went up there, my Auntie Gail fed us bagels for breakfast. I had never had a bagel in my fucking life.
That makes sense.
This is real. I had never had a bagel. She took the fucking bagel. The bagel had fucking raisins or some shit in it. I'm like, oh, this is kind of fucking sweet. But at the same time, this is fucking like savory. We had fucking salmon flavored cream cheese. We had all different types of cream cheese. We ate summer sausage for the first time, which I had never had before. And I continued to eat all the way up until my body gave out from eating rich foods. That story is true. And I'm so fucking sick. Do you know how many people hit me up on the fucking Instagram? Like, that Philadelphia cream cheese story cannot be true. What the fuck is wrong with y'all?
Well,
it's
Van,
definitely true.
Van, let's not act like you haven't told a couple of fables around here, okay? You do.
Give me one. Give me an example of a fable.
What was the thing he said he told me where he was really just talking to Donnie and he was going on?
It was about NFTs.
Snowfall.
Okay.
Their origins of Snowfall.
Okay. Okay.
So, in their defense, it is, you have to question, is he telling the truth? But you're obviously not an OG thought lawyer because you have told us before about you going to Minnesota when I was talking about being in the Upper Peninsula. You might not have talked about Auntie Gail, but you did talk about that trip traveling through that time.
We went
and
up there.
And you talked about Mississippi, like going across Mississippi.
My little cousin Jasmine, who was a beautiful young woman, was a baby, right? And we went up there, and God damn it, I had bagels for the first time. And it was cream cheese that was on the bagel. And if you're going to buy cream cheese, what kind of cream cheese are you going to get? It was Philadelphia cream cheese. That's a real story. Why y'all got to do everything to me? Like, what the fuck?
You brought this one on yourself.
How?
The fables. The fables. Okay. We should have a sound when he gets into story time. When he's like, can I tell a story? Let's have like a little bedtime music sound.
What? How do people decide that an ad is a lie? Like, why would that even be a thing, though? Why would people be trying to poke holes in me to the degree that the ad can't be true?
I can't. Maybe tell you're just a good storyteller. You're just a good storyteller. Take it as a compliment.
I got you, Rachel. Give me one more, Donnie. Give us a good question, because this Halloween themed shit is fucked.
All right. There's one more Halloween question that's in the rundown, and then there's another one that I forgot to put in. That's not in the rundown.
Do the forgotten one. Do the forgotten one.
Okay. That one is from Confection Same 8256 on Reddit. They ask, how do you feel about dogs in Halloween costumes? And are you going to dress your dogs up for Halloween?
So, Dan? Today is the day, if you're listening to this on Friday, that Bozerly Wozerly, the wonder pup of dogs, loses his nuts.
Kalika did send me a picture today of Bozeman. I didn't know why she sent it.
Wolseley, the wonder pup of dogs, loses his nuts today. So this is very close to our heart. Aww. As we're all thinking about Wolseley Wabbit and Wolseley Wabbit and the rest of these things.
Aww.
The answer is no. I do not like costumes on dogs. I don't like costumes because it stresses the dog out. Dogs don't like it.
That's not true.
Science. Let's look it up right now. Science.
It depends what the costume is.
Donnie, look it up.
I used to dress Copper up all the time.
I bet you did.
And I don't anymore. But to answer your question, whoever answered this, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the name. I do dress up my dogs. Copper will be Simba. And he has a cute little mane.
Yeah.
And Brownie will be Chucky.
Chucky? That's a good costume. No, it's a good costume. Donnie, does it stress dogs out to dress them up in costumes? Could you please give me some data on that?
Apparently, it depends on the dog. Dogs are like people. They got different personalities. Some dogs are more stressed out by things on their bodies or loud noises, and other dogs aren't. So it just depends.
That's bullshit.
But I think it depends what the costume is.
I do think it's cute. All right. Do you have an unexpected ally of the week?
No. Sorry. Do you?
Have you been keeping up with all the Kanye media tour and white media?
Yes. For the most part, yes. Have I watched every single thing? Chris Cuomo, Piers Morgan.
All right. I think the unexpected ally of the week is the white media, because now we know just how much they don't give a fuck. We've always known that they don't give a fuck, but I think a lot of black media has stepped back from platforming Kanye West. I know he's reached out to a couple of places, but white media is still willing to sink their teeth into the necks of black people's pain and suck like vampires in order to have a spectacle on air. We always knew who you were. We see you now. Shame on you. All right.
Couldn't agree more.
Take your thinking caps off, but do not stop learning. I am Van Lathan Jr.
And I'm Rachel Lynn Lindsay. Bye, guys.